God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. Had a great afternoon and ready for a mighty move of God this evening. Praise God. Looking forward to hearing His Word. Let's all stand and we'll go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Just praise God. If you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. Amen. God sees and knows each and every one. Brother Chris, would you lead us in opening prayer? Yes, Lord.
Thank you for your presence that we can fill this house now, Father God. Lord, we just ask you to rain down this house, Father God. Ask your Shekinah glory to fall, Father God. Lord, we ask you to have your will and your way in this house, Lord. The movement of my today, Father. Each and every hand that was raised as a prayer request, Father God, and those that was not, Father. We know that you're able to meet every need, Father God.
Yes, Lord. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, turn to page 393. When we all get to heaven, listen to that as we... Everybody sing, we'll just worship the Lord this evening. Praise God.
Reassurance. I like it when He reminds me how great He is, because there were things that seemed so far away. The answer didn't even seem reachable earlier this week, and I just want to say God has come through.
And
He has touched, He's mended, He knows exactly what it's supposed to do, because it's in His time and His place.
Amen.
Praise God. Just want to praise on Him all that we can. We're going to get ready and take up our evening offering and turn over to the choir. They were practicing when we came in, and I just really love our choir musicians and all the extra effort they put in. We want to keep them in our prayers and just ask the Lord just to continue to bless them. Praise God. We got a couple of announcements as they come forward. Thank you, brother. We got one. There's going to be a baby shower September 12th. at 2 p.m. and over in the Curtis Center for Sister Sierra Agin. And it'll be the 12th at 2 p.m., ladies.
And all the ladies are invited.
All the ladies are invited. Thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord. And also, again, we want to mention all the other ministries as we keep in mind, but also want to mention again the Samaritan's Purse, which is the Operations Christmas Child, the shoe boxes that we do every year. All the information, and I know it's in early November, late October, early November that it's all needed by, but it's easy and we want to start early just to give you all an opportunity if you'd like to give something for it. Miss Elaine has a list of the things that are acceptable, and I'm just grateful they're still continuing with that this year too, because the children and those that they reach need to know about Jesus. There's no doubt. From local to the farthest to the farthest end of the world too, that God has. And also it's $9 a box for shipping, so if anybody just wants to donate something monetarily, just mark it on the offering envelope and just mark it for Samaritan's Purse, and the money will be properly handled. So we thank y'all very much. Any other announcements? No, right now? All right. Praise the Lord. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Dear Lord, we thank you now for your many blessings. We ask now as we prepare to take this offering, Lord, that you'll just continue to bless it and multiply it, dear Lord, as it goes further for your work. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless those that have to give, and dear Lord, those that don't, those that are without. Lord, we know that you're continuing to bless them, dear Lord, and we just give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys.
Anybody wanna testify?
If you cry
you won't even smell like smoke. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand up high? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify? Here's your chance. Can I get a witness?
Just you want to raise your hand.
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify?
Cry out for a miracle, and you see.
help me sing? I had a song picked out, and then the Lord laid this one on my heart. So if y'all will worship with us, we're going to sing Sometimes It Takes a Mountain. Cindy. A mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while. Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah.
Than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a to trust you and believe. Forgive me, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. Oh, but this I will admit has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord. I'm not ashamed to say. Oh, sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Your love is so much stronger. Trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Lord, I
thank you.
give me Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. Oh, but this I will admit has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, I'm not ashamed to say. Sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Trust you and believe. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Trust you and believe. Oh, sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and
amen.
Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight.
Sometimes it takes a mountain.
Amen.
To trust Him in the Lord.
I thought number one would surely be me. Could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. How many knows that? I can't. Yeah.
sounded my hand. The mountain too high, the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, I learned to stand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. Thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but Lord, I can't without you holding my hand. If you know it, sing it with me, church. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high, the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, you holding my hand. Aren't you glad he's holding your hand tonight? Praise God, praise God. My, my, my. God is so great. Amen. He lifts us up. Amen. Encourages us when we're down and out. Amen. He is, as David said, the lifter up of my head. God bless you tonight. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Judges tonight. In the 16th chapter of the book of Judges. Praise God. As you're turning, if you love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and body, let him know it with a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. I never get tired of glorifying and praising the Lord. Amen. He's been too good to me, amen, for me to not praise him now. In Judges, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse number 23, Bible reads this way: Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make sport, that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of his other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come at this hour to love you and to thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your abounding love and grace. Thank you for those who are here tonight Father, we pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint these lips of clay. God, bless this vessel, Lord, is nothing more than an oracle that you might speak to our hearts. God, help us to be receptive, submissive, and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, we do remember the many that are sick and hurting tonight, God, and we pray, Lord, that you would touch and anoint and minister healing unto their bodies, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight for just a little while. I want to bring a message entitled, Remember Me, Lord. Remember Me, Lord. If you notice, there is not a question mark after the response that Samson gives as he's praying. In fact, it is a petition. He's praying to the Lord to remember him one more time. We all know and remember the story how that Samson got to the point where he is now. And Samson was a great man. He was a great man of God. He had might and strength, and God had blessed him and used him as a vessel and an oracle for the killing of the Philistines and for overcoming them time and time again in many, many battles and many great exploits that Samson was able to do through the power of God. And you know he was apprehended and how that he laid his head in Delilah's lap and she kept questioning him about where his strength come. And finally, he was overwhelmed and he gave her the secret of his great strength, which lay in his hair. And he was shaven and cut off the locks of his hair. And now he found himself weak as other men, and his strength was gone. So now they have punched out his eyes, and now they're going to make a great banquet there in the house of Dagon and worship their god. So it is brought up that they want to bring him out and make sport of him, is basically what they're doing, and laughing at him and making fun of him. And I thought to myself, my, what the devil can do to us in just a matter of time. How that things that were going good for Samson, and how that he was blessed of the Lord and God was using him mightily, and now he finds himself totally and absolutely dependent on others. And I began to think about the sport that they was making and how that the enemy here, and it is a type and shadow of what Satan can do when he comes in and wrecks our lives. And many, many times, maybe you're not one that's been the recipient of that, but maybe know someone whose life has just been completely turned upside down by the enemy and by things that has happened in their life. And I begin to think about people who once lived for the Lord, once was mighty in the work of God, and once was faithful and loving to the church and to God, and God worked mightily in their lives. And for whatever reason, and being a pastor for some 28 going on 29 years, I've heard a lot of reasons why people have quit church, or why they've moved on, or why church and God is not really important in their life again. And they have those memories of things the way that they used to be, and how that many times they were on fire for God, and many times they loved to praise and worship into the service of God. But now, for whatever reason, Satan has come in and wrecked their lives and made sport of their life, basically. He caused things to go wrong in their life. He's caused them to blame one another. And unfortunately, many times people will blame God. But you know, the God that I serve is plenteous in forgiveness and redemption. Can I get a testimony to that? Aren't you thankful that God forgives us, amen, if we will come with a broken and contrite spirit, if we will come with a repentive heart and a repentive nature and confess our sins to the Lord, he is plenteous to forgive us, amen, and put us back on the right track. But here we find that Samson here, and I thought it was very telling here that there's mentioned a lad. I remember many years ago I preached at another church, and I preached the message, the hand that brought the house down. And you know, when we talk about the Philistines and we talk about them gathering, so often we remember Samson. We remember his great strength. We remember how God visited him one more time, and he was able to put one hand on a pillar and the other hand on the other pillar. And the Bible says he bowed with all of his might, every ounce of strength that he had, and he put pushed the pillars down, the main pillars that held the structure up, and the house where they were began to fall, and thousands of people were killed. But very rarely do we think about who led him to the pillars. The Bible mentions a lad. It's not even significant enough that they even mention his name. But evidently this was a small lad, because it talked about basically describing him as a young person or a lad. And he was the one that was responsible for going and getting Samson from the prison cell and bringing him up for them to make sport of. And don't you know, the enemy was just laughing and having a good time. And can I remind you tonight, when you're down to your last situation and your problems are just all around you, that Satan that took you down that road of disappointment, he's just laughing and making fun of you with all of his might, because he doesn't want joy in your life. He doesn't want victory in your life. He certainly don't want you glorifying and praising God. So here the enemy is just rejoicing and having a great time, because once the destroyer of their selves and once the destroyer of their mighty men was now nothing more than someone that they could make sport of. So they call for Samson, and this young lad goes and brings Samson back, amen, to the house. And he begins to realize that he is in the midst of a multitude. And his only request to the lad is to take me or lead me to where the pillars are. And he begins to pray a prayer. And the title of this message is Remember Me, Lord. Now understand, it is not in the form of a question. I don't ever want to get to a point where I have to question God, does he remember me? I believe that the Lord knows everything there is to know about us. I believe he knows. The Bible says in one place, even the number of hairs upon our head. If a God and a deity knows that, he certainly knows everything that goes on in our life and everything that goes on in our mind. And when we slip and fall by the wayside, or when we err in some way, amen, I don't believe that God just forgets us. Amen. I believe that he will forgive us, but we have to come with, as I said earlier, a broken and contrite spirit. So I believe this was a petition. I believe this was a prayer. In one place it said an earnest prayer and an earnest petition to God that he would remember him one more time. And what? Remember him with his strength. Remember him with his power. Many times I think that we realize, or we think that Samson was this some huge bulk of a man, and he may have been. We don't know exactly, but somehow in my mind I think he probably, without the power of God, was just an ordinary man. How many knows what I'm talking about? There is something supernatural about the power and the anointing of God that can make an ordinary person, amen, amen, filled with the power of God and filled with the anointing of God. Even so much that when the Lord was blessing Saul and the Lord was blessing Peter, and they were laying handkerchiefs and aprons down, amen, so that the people could be healed. God can do supernatural things through a vessel that is willing and obedient unto God. If you believe that, put your hands together for the Lord tonight. But without God, I believe he was probably just an ordinary man. But God had used him, amen, and God had anointed him for a purpose, amen. And we find that as long as he was submissive and obedient and willing unto God, then God did great works through him. Amen, aren't you thankful that God can do great works and wonderful works through us? It's not us. It's our submissiveness unto the Spirit of God, and we give him honor and glory. When someone is healed, we don't take credit for it. It's not us. It's just the prayer of faith, anointing with oil, believing and trusting in an almighty God. And when the healing takes place and the testimonies come, it's always to lift up our Lord, always to give him honor and credit, because it is the healing that comes from him. And Samson knew where that strength come from. But he petitioned God one more time, and he called unto the Lord and said, Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. I'm making my final prayer, my final petition unto you, Lord. And I want you to just strengthen me one more time. And I thought about how sad it is today when we find people or talk to people, and as being a pastor, I have been on that other end of the conversation where someone has told me, Pastor, you know, I just wished I could get back to how it used to be. And I begin to think that's not God's fault that things are not like they used to be. Because the God that I serve, as I found out, He is so compassionate. He's so loving. Amen. And I believe that God wants that person back to where they once was. And I found out that that person is not as nearly ready to forgive themselves as God is to forgive them. And God to turn things around and make them straight. But here we find Samson with a humble prayer and a compassionate prayer, a passionate prayer rather, and asking the Lord to strengthen me just once, Lord, just one more time. Let me feel the power of God as I used to feel it. Amen. And as I begin to read that, my mind and my heart begin to be so full of remorse and so full of compassion, because I have talked to people. I've had people speak to me and say, Brother Eddie, you know that once I was a mighty worker for the Lord, and at one time God really used me in a number of ways, and I'm asking them, you know, why don't you get back to where you once was? And for some reason they can't find it in themselves to be repentant. And I think what it is they think God just won't forgive them and God won't forget where they turned their back on Him. But oh, I think there needs to be a call today to so many people who are lost and have gone down that road of a backslidden condition, and somebody needs to tell them, and it's up to the church, amen? It's up to the ministers to tell them that God is a forgiving God. I'm here tonight as an example and a testimony that God is a forgiving God, amen? I'm so thankful, glory to God, that when He comes into our life and when He takes away those sins and those iniquities, amen, not to remember them anymore. But that's no reason to turn back and do the same things that we once did. Lord, remember me. Remember me, I pray Thee. And strengthen me, I pray Thee. Only this once, God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Now, I would imagine that Samson began to think about the power that he once had, the anointing that was once upon him. And how sad that is if there's someone under the sound of my voice tonight, or someone that maybe we know, that is living in constant remorse and constant regret because things are not like they used to be. Things are not like they once was. I've heard people say, well, God's just not working like He once was. Yes, He is, if we will allow Him. The God that I serve is just as real as He ever was. When people say we're not seeing miracles, that's no fault of God's. Amen. God is still a miracle-performing God. He's still a prayer-answering God. Amen. But church, we got to understand that we need to feel the power of God again. And we can if we fall on our knees and if we ask Him, Lord, remember me again, God. Remember me with Your power. Remember me with Your anointing. Remember me with Your victory and that deliverance, God. Lord, that You once filled the sanctuary. We've talked and many times we find out that people are not even having service maybe once a Sunday. But you know, I grew up in an environment, amen, where we were expected to be there Sunday morning and Sunday night, and because we did, amen, we saw souls won to the Lord, and I remember so folks saying, boy, if we could just get back to the old timey way. Folks, it ain't changed. It ain't changed. God's still real. God's still mighty. Remember me, God, with Your power. Remember me, God, with Your strength. Remember me again with that anointing, God, so that souls might be saved. Somewhere along the line, I'm afraid that churches, us included, have realized or thought that we're just here to maybe check off our to-do list and meet on Sunday night. But you know what, folks? We need to come with a hunger in our heart, a hunger in our soul, not only for one another, but those who are lost, those who may be backslidden, those who may be sitting in a prison somewhere. And it may not be a physical prison. It can be a prison, a spiritual prison, where they're bound. And they think once they fail God, God, that they can't be restored again. And once they've gone down that road, they think the church won't have anything to do with them. Lord of mercy, we don't need to be that way. We need to open our hearts and open our doors to folks and tell them, no, you don't have to live in that spiritual blindness. You don't have to live in that weak condition. You again can be blessed. You again can be a vital part of the church. Amen. As we said this morning, it is not God's will that any should perish. And it shouldn't be the church's will either that any should perish. Maybe you here tonight have a family member. Maybe you have a loved one. Maybe you have someone that you work with. Could it be possible that you might be the person so similar to the lad that was here? He didn't desire recognition. He never got the accolades. He never got the pat on the back. Amen. But he was the one that led Samson back to the house. He was the one that led Samson back to the pillars. And I thought about that. Lord, it doesn't matter about my name. It doesn't matter if people know who I am. But God, can I be the one that leads one lost soul back to you? Can I be the one, Lord? I don't care if they remember me. I don't care if they even give praise or honor. I just want them to come back to the house of the Lord and come back and kneel before a forgiving God and let things be like they used to be. Let victory be back in their life. Let them get back on the road, that road, the straight and narrow. You know what I'm talking about, folks. We were raised, amen, to preach and to obey the Word of God and to be recipient of the blessings of God and to meet, for forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, praying one for another. Amen. And when someone came to the altar, the church rallied around them. Amen. Because that was the sheep that was lost. And the other 99 came in and began to pray that one back through to the anointing of God. God, remember me. Remember me. Never want to get to a point and a place where the devil's just having fun and making fun of me. Because of once I lived for the Lord and now I'm just going my own way. And I'm lost and I'm blinded, amen, by the things of the world. And blinded by things of in my past and things that have happened in my past. I believe, and I've said it time and time again tonight, that God will forgive. And God will pardon. And God, amen, will take away our sins if we come to Him with that repentive state. And ask the Lord, Father, it's me. Brother Keith sings that song, it's me again, Lord. I got a problem I can't solve. I need your help, Lord. I need you to touch me. I need to make me like I used to be. That lost person, I hope that we're praying continually for them. But I also want to share with you tonight, maybe that person that the Lord is speaking to is not really lost, and maybe they're not backslidden. Maybe they're not lost out with God. But for whatever reason, they're not used as there once was in the Spirit of God. Maybe there was a calling upon their life. Maybe there was a ministry God had anointed and called them to be a part of the ministry, the fivefold ministry or whatever. Maybe it called them to be a Sunday school teacher or a youth leader. But for whatever reason, and there's so many reasons that Satan will give us out there. There's the reason that somebody hurt your feelings. There's the reason, amen, that you just don't feel like you used to feel. Or you know what Satan does? Satan says, well, you've been in the way so long. Why don't you move over and let somebody else take that ministry? Let me tell you something. I don't believe God just takes the ministry away from you or takes that calling or takes that anointing away from you, because He gave it to you not that you might get glory, but He gave it to you so that you might be a soul winner. And I'm so afraid that the church has lost face or lost fact, the fact that we need to be soul winners for God. Amen. God has stirred me so very much. There's a lost and dying world, not way across the coast, but right here in Villarica. All around us, the neighborhood, there are people right now that have no desire to go to church, no desire to hear about God. And here we are feeling the blessings and the anointing of God when we ought to be, Lord, praying that somebody tonight tonight would receive your Spirit, somebody tonight would make a change in their life. Remember me, Lord. Remember me. As I pray in earnest and expectant prayer, God, that you will strengthen me as I once was. How many remember when you first prayed through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and, oh, you were just on fire and you just couldn't wait to get with everybody and tell everybody how good God was. He had saved your soul. You remember that wonderful feeling? Oh, and it was just like the prophet said, just like fire shut up in your bones. But over the years, we begin to draw back a little bit. And I'm not saying out in sin or backslidden, but we just got comfortable with our salvation. And we lost track that there are people around us that need a touch from the Lord. Can you be that lad? Can you be that person that takes somebody who's lost their way and lead them back to God? Hallelujah. You know, it may not be in the church house. I believe that most of the ministry is probably being done on outside of these four walls anyway. Because that's where the need is. Amen. It's not the well that need a physician. It's the sick. And it's those that are in sin. And those in broken relationships. And those that are in broken families. And those that have some kind of attitude against God and against the church. Many people have been hurt in church. And for whatever reason, they've turned their back completely on it. But I want God to touch them. I want God to move in their lives. I, for one, could not be satisfied living any other life than living for the Lord. Because I know where He's brought me from. I know what He's done for me in my life. And I know, thank God, by faith and by His promises in the Bible, I know where my home is. And it's not because of me, but it's all because of Him, of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Can I ask you tonight, is there a person? Is there a loved one? Is there a companion or someone that you work with that's lost their way? And you know that they've lost the way because of the conversations that they have and of the sorrow and grief that is in this world today. It is amazing how many people are hurting today. Hurting emotionally, hurting spiritually. Some are hurting even within their family because of certain situations. But church, we who have been born again, we who are filled with the Spirit of the Lord, we ought to be ambassadors for Christ. We ought to be that one that takes them by the hand, as I said, and leads them down to an altar. And it doesn't have to be this altar. I've known of folks. In fact, I know of one person that got so down and out, and he went to my granddaddy's house, and my granddaddy was there in the living room, and they were talking for about an hour, and he wanted to pray back to the Lord. And my granddaddy said, well, he said something about when we get to church. My granddaddy said, we don't have to go to the church. We don't have to wait till Sunday morning or Sunday night. Amen. God I serve is just as real in the living room as He is in the church house, as He is in the sanctuary. My granddaddy and him knelt down by the couch right there in the living room at that evening. Amen. He prayed through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Praying and glorifying and thanking God. Why? Because somebody was willing to take his hand and lead him to Jesus. We're in a scenario where we say we use this somebody. Somebody needs to talk to him. Somebody needs to pray for him. Somebody needs to call him. Somebody needs to go and tell him, amen, that we miss him. And I'm thinking, could I be that lad? Could I be that person who is not even mentioned? All they mention is just a lad. Didn't even mention him by name. He's never mentioned again. But he's the one that was instrumental to take Samson by the hand. Think about that. Think about that spiritually. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you was the one to take somebody by the hand, amen, and lead them back to the Lord Jesus. Lead them back into a life of salvation as opposed to what they're living in now. And folks, you don't know. You don't know who it is out there that's hurting. You don't know who it is out there that their life is just absolutely crumbling all around them. As Satan sets back the enemy and laughs and makes fun of the world today. And I thought about as I was reading that scripture this week, how that the enemy now is making fun of everything that's going on. You know, in my day and time, and I've mentioned this too, and I think I mentioned it in a sermon or two before, you know, in my lifetime when I was growing up, even if people wasn't religious, they expected folk or respected folks. It's not that way anymore. They'll put you down. They'll make fun of you. They'll ridicule you. They'll even cause bodily harm on some people for proclaiming that they're Christians. And they're want to take anything that has to do with Christianity down. They think it's offensive to even mention about Jesus Christ. But you know what? I said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. Strengthen me one more time, God. Give me one more soul to witness to. Give me one more person, God, that maybe we can take them by the hand and lead them back to Christ or lead them to the Lord. And so many folks we find who've had a background in church, who knows what it is, good and evil, and knows what it is, right from wrong, and as I mentioned earlier, knows what it is to feel the power of God. But for some reason, they're not here. For some reason, they're out there. Maybe you're the one. Maybe God will lay it upon your heart to speak to them, to talk to them, to give them a call, to take them by the hand, to lead them to the Lord. We need folks. Amen. We need folks that are willing to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them. I say it often. If we wait till they come to the church, we may be waiting a long time. Because thank God that you're here. You know, and I appreciate you coming. I'm not trying to put us down by any means at all. But there's people out there that need our prayers. There's people out there that need our attention. There's people out there that need our hand to lift them up, amen, and encourage them. Remember me, God. Remember me this one more time, God, to let me feel your power. To let me feel your anointing, God. Because there's hurting in this world. There's things in this world, amen, that's causing people right now as I'm preaching, as I'm bringing this message, trying to bring it to a close, there's people dying. There's people dying. And I'm not a judge, but there's probably people dying without a relationship with the Lord. There's probably people being murdered right now, even as we're preparing to go home after we've had a time of praise and worship and singing. But the Lord has laid such a burden on my heart this week for those lost and dying in this world today. And not only those, but those that seemingly are unconcerned. We had a saying in our business, sometimes we seem more concerned than our customers. Sometimes we think about that, but that's no reason to give up. That's no reason to quit. Lord, visit me one more time. Remember me one more time. God, give me an opportunity. Maybe it's this week. Maybe it's someone that you shop with. Maybe it's someone, a waitress or someone, a mechanic. It could be anybody because we don't know what they're going through. We don't know what they're suffering. But could you be that one that takes them by the hand and leads them back to the Lord? God bless you tonight. I didn't want to keep you a long time, but I just wanted to share my heart with you tonight and let you know that let's pray. Let's pray for these folks. Let's pray for these folks that need the Lord. And let's pray for our nation. And let's pray for our leadership. And let's pray for the safety of our community and certainly the safety of our children. You know, I read something just this week, and it was said, you remember when you were able to play outside without having fear? They said, you can't do that anymore. You can't let your children out of your sight anymore. And folks, it's not the world that's changed. It's the people that's changed. It's the people. It's the hardness of the heart. And I'm trying to close, but I am just so burdened tonight for lost souls and for people who once knew the Lord. I want to see new converts with all of my heart. I want to see folks that have never made a start for the Lord. I want to see them filled with the Spirit of the Lord. I want to see them born again and living for God. But there's so many people. And probably as I'm saying that, you may have people in your mind that you're thinking of right now that was once on fire for God and once instrumental in the service of God. And for whatever reason, they're not a part of it anymore. And my heart goes out to them. So I want us to pray tonight as we prepare to dismiss. Would you stand? Maybe there's someone here that would like to bring that burden to the altar. Maybe there's someone here that has a person in their mind or in their family that you'd like to pray for. This altar is open. If you want to gather around tonight, we'll pray one for another, and we'll certainly pray for those who are in need of prayer. And if you got nobody else to pray for me. Pray that I will be the instrument in God's hand that He wants me to be, and pray that somehow, some way, that we can reach some lost souls. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there one tonight that would come, and we'll pray with you? Well, as we prepare to dismiss, as we gather in prayer, can we all pray? I would assure you that there's somebody right now on your heart and on your mind. So as we prepare to dismiss, let's pray for that soul. Let's pray for that person right now. Brother Jim, would you come and dismiss us with prayer? Let's remember those in our heart tonight.
My gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in this congregation. Lord, we just want to just release each and every situation into your hands, my Lord. We just want to release it to you. And, Lord, those souls that have come to our mind, Lord, those people, whether it be family members, loved ones, those that we work with, those that we meet on the byway, dear Lord, we ask now that we'll be the vessels, dear Lord, that you can use, dear Lord, to water the seeds, dear Lord, to plant the seed, dear Lord, just to be that willing vessel. My Lord, we just praise you tonight, dear Lord. Lord, strengthen our church, dear Lord. Strengthen us, dear Lord, as we go about our daily jobs, our daily life. Dear Lord, that those that we come in contact with, dear Lord, will feel your spirit within us. They'll see it in us, dear Lord. May we be that vessel that your light can shine through, dear Lord. Lord, we ask for you to strengthen and guide us, dear Lord. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings, dear Lord. May we be on fire for you, dear Lord. May we be all about your business, dear Lord, in everything that we do as parents, grandparents, as neighbors, as friends, as loved ones, dear Lord. And we just thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for those that have been able to join us tonight. Those watching on the live feed, know that we're praying for you. And Lord, if you have a prayer request, please, by all means, put it in the comments there. Let us know if there's someone that needs to be touched. Dear Lord, we're praying for those that are watching, dear Lord, as they're crying out for you. Lord, we're praying for the lost. Lord, so we're praying for ourselves, dear Lord, that we'll be a willing vessel that you might use. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory, dear Lord, and as we dismiss, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord. Again, we thank you for the many ministries that are going forward out of this church, out of this congregation. Lord, we ask for your blessings to be upon it, and we ask that you'll receive all the glory. It's not about us. It's all about you. In Jesus' name, and we all say, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Y'all have a wonderful first part of the week. Praise God.